Hi, guys. I'm Tara Lipinski.
And this is Todd Capistashi.
And you're listening to Unexpecting the Podcast.
Episode unknown.
Unknown.
I don't think you know this because you're not like in the trenches like I am with the like technology part of the podcast. But we joked in the last podcast about the seasons.
Yes.
I went back and
You did?
Renamed them, but I didn't do it in the way that you wanted. That's why I didn't tell you.
Wait, what is it? Oh my God, what did you do?
I think it's the most, I said this on the last podcast, so I feel like I don't need to re-say it, but 1 through 15 was season one, guys. Our magnum opus to fertility.
Yeah.
And so that's season one, and season two is 16, and now we're at 20 something. So we're
currently
in season two.
That's not how it's supposed to go.
We can't do three seasons of a podcast in like 2 months.
Okay. I kind of love this podcast because you will keep things from me. I could never do that. If it was something on my mind.
Keep things from you.
Well, I feel like you like to like surprise me when we do a podcast and not tell me about something. I could never do that. I struggle if I get a gift, what to do. Like, I want to tell you what I got you.
Yeah, I have that too, though. Like, if I get you something, it's like so hard for me
not to ruin
at
the
least
surprise.
Even just bring it up and start hinting at it.
Well, you like surprising me.
What do you think of
wait, can we talk? Speaking of gifts, my Valentine's Day gift. Are you okay if I share that with everyone?
Sure, yeah. You know, I spent hours and hours and hours on a Valentine's Day gift for Tara, kind of arts and crafts thing, a lot of thought, effort, had to write a bunch of stuff out, and Tara got me a pair of shoes.
Guys, oh my gosh, you mentioned this the other day. Are you upset? You didn't think it was nice?
No, I love the shoes. Yeah, they're rubber and material.
To my defense here, I got you a cool pair of Nikes, and I got you, Georgie matching Nikes.
Yeah, but
for
that's a gag I've already done. I've already got you shoes matching for Georgie.
See, he gets competitive.
Just stole my
idea. Todd has good gift giving. He's a good gift giver. He's thoughtful about surprise gift giving. I mean, think about
sometimes,
the prom.
Sometimes too.
Did we ever tell anyone about prom?
Tell anybody?
On the podcast. I feel like also all the people that listen and the people that write in, I do feel like When I used to listen to podcasts and people that were actually, you know, broadcasting the podcast would be like, oh, our podcast family. And, you know, I feel that. I feel like we have this whole separate life.
When I heard people say that, I thought it was like really like
annoying,
masturbatory and like back padding. But now I find myself saying like the apt listener will know that if you've been listening.
It's really fun. I mean, it's like anything you want to, you know, gravitate towards community.
But yeah, you hadn't gone to prom because of skating.
Yeah.
So for your 34th birthday, I rented out a gym at a school in
LA. A real high school in LA.
High school. And we did like a 2000s themed prom.
And it was a huge surprise. And it was 2000 themed because that's when the year I graduated. And I love 2000 like music of any sort. We know this. It was the best thing to ever happen in my life. Like, I think about this prom so often. I have like a highlight on my Instagram because I will go back and maybe once every few months watch it. All my friends dressed like they did in the 2000s.
That's the funniest thing is you didn't know. And so you got into, I like got like an old school kind of looking limo.
Yes.
And all your friends were dressed up kind of like 2000s. And your friend, Allie, was
Connelly.
Like
she was,
goth
she
or something. I don't know what she was trying to do, but it was like 2000s goth. And you were like, where are we going and why are you dressed like that? But
it's
there were like
Allie
corsages.
Connelly.
So you kind of started, I think,
and
to get
what's
it.
What's crazy is we became prom king and queen.
Yeah.
I mean, how
that
did
wasn't
that happen?
Fixed or anything.
Right. It was so fun. I remember like the very last song. What was that song? I have to go back on my Instagram and look at it, but everyone will remember the song.
Really
and,
bad.
But everyone was so
song.
Drunk. And I think I didn't have shoes on. And it was like they were trying to get us out of there. And I'm like dancing on your feet, drunk, so in love and happy, and just singing this song. And I really thought this was my prom, guys. Like this felt as big as any
school
dance.
It did feel like a pretty legit prom.
Yes. Okay.
That's
so wait.
That's what proms feel like.
It was amazing. It was amazing. But I want to go back to Valentine's Day. with the gift that you didn't like for me, but I really
No, I'm joking. I like your shoes were awesome. They're like Nikes, and you got matching ones for Georgie, so they were cute. And then I just for you got
it's cute though.
Yeah, but it's not that involved. But yeah.
I feel like it was I like when you do arts and crafts.
Yeah.
We also what do we call it? I forget what we call it when I do it because I sometimes will try to get Todd thoughtful. Like
well here's the thing that I'll say that you're gonna be mad at is like you're so great like on Christmas, you'll get me so many clothes and like spend a ton of money. For whatever reason, when you do like the arts and crafts, like thoughtful gifts, they end up being like super cheap, low end.
What do you mean?
Like, again, you like on a regular birthday or whatever, you get like you've bought me like a laptop before and like an iPhone, you know, you've you get me like great, somewhat expensive gifts sometimes. But then when you do the sweet stuff, it's always kind of like falling apart or like not done perfectly. It's like the bad people on Etsy or it's like my parents used to do like arts and crafts and like sell them on the weekends when they're in the '80s.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like when I get gifts from you, it's like my parents made it in my basement.
Oh my goodness.
But they're cute. But that's why I like
them.
But
I mess up.
And there's always something
there's always like something a spelling error about it. Or a grammatical error.
Or just like
it doesn't make sense.
Like some quote that
remember when I did all the wine bottles with quotes on them for each year
that, was that we cool, were together? I think you removed, you got a bunch of wine and put like custom wine bottles
with
for
our
like
pictures,
our year
and then
or something.
Like wrote about each year on it with quotes.
Didn't really make much sense because it was like Chardonnay that you can't keep. So we just like drank it and threw away the bottle. One time you got me this like leather Etsy bracelet. I think I looked it up and it was like $17.50.
But I thought it looked cool. Why would you be looking up like, how much it cost? Because
I was like, this could not have cost more than $6. And I was shocked to find out that it did.
It had a cool brass buckle and I could engrave it underneath, not on top. So it wasn't like,
I know, but like
in
that's,
your face.
That's my thing. That's the thing. You get me like a
$1,000
laptop, but then you spend like $4 on like a custom leather bracelet that I would never wear.
You did. You wore it till it fell apart.
Well, like a day or two and it fell apart.
You wore it for like a year.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I didn't wear that.
Yes,
for a
you
year.
Did.
No,
you
I
did.
Didn't.
100%.
I don't think so.
Go back and look at all the pictures.
I don't think so.
Anyways, back to the Valentine's Day gift. I really liked it. You got these antique looking frames, 5 of them, and it was like double sided. So there was a picture you put of me and Georgie.
Yeah, it's fertility related. So makes sense for the podcast, I guess.
Fertility related. And it would be a picture of me and Georgie. And then it said rainbow baby. I can't remember what you wrote, but you know, rainbow baby year one. And you wrote it to Georgie of, you know,
you're doing a terrible job explaining. Why?
I'm always bad. Tell me.
Well, no, it's just simple. There were 5 frames, and on one, they were like those double frames. So on one side was a picture of you and Georgie because we did a photo shoot for People or something when she was born. And so there's a bunch of amazing photos. So every frame as a photo. And then like on the other side is like I wrote like essentially like a long paragraph describing like what year one of fertility was for us and like what you went through essentially to get Georgie. So the written like mommy did this
to kind of
get you.
Yeah.
And so the 5th year is like mommy finds a helper in Michaela.
Yes.
And yeah, so.
So it was really cute. But going through year 1, 2, and 3, like you did a great, you're so creative with your writing, but I thought it was so sweet. And now Georgie can have those little frames to look back on of what it took to get her here. But okay, so that's it on gift giving.
One other thing, I don't know what made me think of this, but the idea of like the Etsy stuff and like never quite doing it right.
Oh, thanks.
It's like a thing. It's like a running theme for you that I wish you could like sort through like in therapy or something where you get anxious and then muck it up.
I do. I actually.
And you know what made me think like.
I need to talk about this in therapy.
What I'm getting at though is like the same thing I was thinking. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Oh, because I was reheating for lunch today. I made dinner last night. I made this like cream corn bucatini.
It was very good.
And I was reheating it and just kind of thinking about like your. Like I don't cook a lot, but I'm the only person in the house that cooks.
I do
like
not
you
cook.
Don't cook at all. And guys, it's like the funniest, but kind of. It's not that it's scary or sad, but.
Scary.
You get so. You like. You won I've said this before, you like won the Olympics, like in front of like 40 million people and you get in a kitchen and you have to read a direction. It's like tablespoon versus teaspoon and what's a pinch of salt. And it has to be, the problem is like cooking, baking has to be precise, but cooking, you can kind of just like wheel and deal and just
cross your fingers.
You
precise.
Cannot do that.
No.
And you have meltdowns and then you get like stopped on one thing and then like the house is burning down because you're not paying attention to the oven.
Also, I think I have a roadblock with like a mental obstacle I cannot figure out of directions. I now get myself so flustered when
but
I'm
good.
And then I miss like six ingredients.
But you're so
and then
coachable
it's too,
on
I
stuff
know.
Because we've done this before where like, you know, me and you will go and shoot basketball,
yes.
like go play basketball. And you're like, teach me how to shoot. And I will. And you're so good at like, it's why you were good at skating. I think it's like somehow you just like a sponge, you sort of take the information and you can apply it, which is a tough skill in sports. And, but you cannot do that.
I cannot do that. I think it is like some sort of block.
And you have, it's honestly, it's,
but then I also feel like I want to cry when it's happening and I want to just like,
but those who have been following the podcast know that like this theme applies to like a bunch of stuff in your life. Like game, it's the same thing
with
like games.
Yeah. Cooking and games
where you start to like melt down because you're not going to be perfect at it, I think is the issue.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like when I mess up that I feel that it's, we can't fix it. You know, it's like sometimes with cooking, I'll be like, I just missed four ingredients and now this will be messed up and I can't then add it. And then I'll try to add it like way too late and it messes up the whole thing and it's gross. I think I just get so overwhelmed that I spent all this time. I tried to do it correctly. I laid everything out perfectly and I still messed up. And it's just like,
it's weird how bad you are. And the sad thing kind of is not sad, but like we're going to have kids. We have a kid, obviously, but not eating solid food. I'm going to have to do like
that's your job. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I can't.
Like never once. You've done so many nice things for me, but like in 8 years, you've never been like, oh, I'm going to surprise you
yes,
and like
I have.
Make you dinner.
Very, no. So this is the truth, guys. I did in the beginning, but believe me, think back to the very beginning. I tried making you things like
the pandemic.
And it was
maybe.
So gross. You would tell me to like when I would be like, oh, I'm going to make you dinner tonight. You'd be like, oh no, like,
no worries.
Please don't.
Thanks for nothing.
And we just got into the habit of like never making food for you.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll take that on.
It's rough.
I actually find cooking to be like relaxing.
Enjoyable.
And
I think you like it.
Yeah. Kind of stressful, but still like relaxing.
Yeah.
Something
the
different.
Cutest thing he does when he makes dinner. I love it. He says, oh, okay, you know, I'll get a text. Also, what's funny, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but we only communicate on WhatsApp and have from the very beginning. We started on email and then we moved right to WhatsApp and we don't text. And I'll get a WhatsApp from you, which will be like, love is blind and I'll cook for you tonight. What do you want? And then I get so excited and we have dinner. But the cutest thing you do is afterwards, you try to play it cool all through cooking. And like you are now like, oh, I just like cook and it's fine. And I'm not stressed. And you're not. But afterwards, you really are so intent on watching me eat it. Like the first few bites, it's like you're breathing on me. Like I feel the hot air from your breath because you're like watching. And then he gets immediately defensive if like I'm not jumping.
I need the positive reinforcement.
But I have to be so positive or it's like, oh,
well,
you don't like it. You
don't
like it.
The thing is, I've ruined
fine.
It because now I know I can't differentiate between the actual like things you like and just like, you know, I'm expecting a compliment. You give it to me. So I don't know. Like last night, I'll be honest. Like what
I
was
actually,
the cream corn bucatini?
I really liked it.
It needed more sauce. And
I wanted
a little more
sauce and corn. But I ate the whole thing, and I would have said that's an 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see?
I think it was like a 6.8.
Does anyone else do this? We should do like a marriage podcast along with our fertility podcast. But we do this a lot now, the scale thing of even when we're like annoyed at each other, upset, because sometimes we don't read our cues
very
well.
Tara will also say she's, oh, I'm just at a 2. Meanwhile, she's like wanting to rip my head off. I'm like, this is not a 2. This is like an 11.
But I won't lie on my scale. So it really is a 2.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like it sometimes.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So guys, life is so busy, and often I think, what would be the first thing I'd do if I had an extra hour in my day? I find the best way to fit in that special something into your schedule is to know what's important to you and prioritize making that time for yourself. I look forward to my own therapy session every single week. I actually get upset if I have to miss it. It's truly an hour for myself. Therapy is great for people who have gone through loss or who are dealing with grief, but it's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's a place where you can unload and recenter. Yes, I was in therapy during my fertility journey, but I continue therapy now because there are still so many life lessons I'm learning. If you're intrigued by therapy, I definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible, which is great for busy schedules. They make it easy to fit in this special time for yourself. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/unexpecting today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unexpecting.
Well, sad kind of thing to talk about. You know, fertility often isn't in the national news. It, you know, sometimes there'll be stuff that'll come out. A person will talk about their journey or...
But not enough to make waves.
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple days ago now.
More than that, I think. But yeah,
I guess a week and a half ago or whatever it was. But in Alabama,
they've
decided that an embryo is a human being.
Right. Which is just outrageous. And it's interesting. When it first came out, I was annoyed. And then I realized how annoyed I got the more I read about it. And then obviously knowing the implications of that and what happened in Alabama for people wanting to go through IVF. And then what slippery slope are we on now for IVF and the rest of the states? And it's just, it's outrageous, right? Like, I love my embryos, and in my own head, when we were going through IVF, I saw them as potential human life, and I saw possible, you know, when they put the embryo inside of me, I felt like I was pregnant, and I felt like this was going to be our baby. But it's not, you know, it's not. Think of how many embryos just don't make it. And think of how many embryos, that's what's crazy to think. If we were to count how many embryos, because I've done 8 retrievals that we had, I don't know, was it 30, 40? I don't even know. I'm really throwing the number out without knowing, that we sent out over those retrievals, and how many came back genetically normal. So all of those other ones most likely would have never made it. They would have never become a human. So you have to get through the PGT testing. And then beyond that, it's not guaranteed. Every embryo, even if it's perfect, doesn't turn into a human. So it's just really sad. And I went on a deep dive of this, of, you know, seeing people in Alabama, and it enraged me. I feel like there's not, you know, in my life, I don't know how you feel about this, but you know, people pick up causes and they feel very strongly. And I, you know, obviously we both feel so strongly about fertility and issues surrounding fertility. But this was the first time where I was like, I could see myself going out on the street with a sign. Like, I feel angry. Like, this is changing IVF and the possibility for people to continue treatment now. It's just so dumb and upsetting that I just feel this sort of rage inside of me. And I started going deep on Instagram, and my Mila Storm. And I remember one morning very tired from like waking up with the baby and just like emo Instagram storying about it, because this one woman I saw, it just like she eloquently, and you know, she was able to articulate obviously her feelings around this, and she lives in Alabama and how it's all halted, and she's been on this 5-year journey. And I think her journey touched me a little bit, just because we have the quote unquote long haul, you know, title. And I do think that, not saying any, I mean, if you're just struggling to get pregnant in any form or way, we all understand each other. It's so difficult. But I do think it's a special kind of hell that IVF long haulers go through, just because odds and chances are never really in your favor. So what you experience is very specific and unique. And then it's doubled and compounded by the fact that you're going through it for years, where it's crazy making and it changes you as a human being. And so she was writing about, you know, on top of everything else, this 5-year journey, now she has no idea what to do, what is going to happen. She can't go through treatment, and what that feels like. And it's just, it's so sad. And then I dug a little deeper into her Instagram, and she was, before this came out, the Alabama ruling, she was just talking about her journey a little bit with IVF. And she had this one post, which I thought was beautifully poetic, which I Instagrammed after. And this is kind of a different subject, but it really made me feel so connected to this person. And it's so true. Like what I just said is like, you change so completely when you go through something like this. And I think a lot of people in your life don't always understand it. And we've talked about that, but you do, you lose relationships, you become a different person. And it's not like you have to sit and dwell in that forever, but you are changed, right? In a really huge way. And she wrote about that. And then she wrote about what it was like wanting a baby and having these embryos. She, and it was before the ruling, but how she has these embryos sitting there. It's like the quote unquote, the in between. And she feels this pull, and you're nothing, but you're everything. Just, it was very beautiful. And I just felt so connected to this woman that I've never met. And it just got me in my feelings about everything that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, for
I just went on a long. See, no, I'm breathing heavy. No, like I'm you're, very you're passionate. Pumped up.
No, as we all should be, I think. I clearly should have like written down thoughts on this topic because it is so kind of nuanced and well, the Alabama one actually isn't really that complicated. Right. Like it's pretty crazy that they ruled that.
Yes.
It's a you know, embryos are human, right. And if you discard them, it's murder. Which is crazy. And also just the fact that like this whole case was brought about because of like a lawsuit where people were trying to get money, which is,
well, look,
sad
I will
too.
Say this, you know, I do feel for the couple that lost these embryos. Could you ever imagine getting a call from Dr. Beck? Like, I'm so sorry, your embryos are gone. Like our life would be changed forever. Like, I don't know if I went through another retrieval now, we may never get anything. So it is scary, and I know right, that, but at the same time.
But also my argument would just be there's a lot of instances in life where people are wronged in right. some way, and it doesn't have to be wrongful death to get a lot of money.
Correct.
Like, okay, you're going to get $100 million because it's like a death, or you're going to get $50 million because they lost your embryos. Right.
And that's the thing that's messed up about it. And I don't know, we don't know the nuances of this, but if these people actually knew what was going to happen from this, it's crazy because as upset as we could be that we lost it, would we ever want IVF to become non-existent possibly for other people? Like like I said, the slippery slope of that could be so detrimental. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know exactly where things went wrong, but you just are baffled by
yeah.
how it started and then where it's at now.
I mean, the thing I don't have a ton to add to this just because I do think it's complicated and I'll end up saying the wrong thing because you know me. I just like talk and talk and spin in circles. The thing I will just say, like when it all came out and I processed it, the thing that's, and just to say, like, you know this, I'm as kind of liberal as they get. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think the ruling was ridiculous and shouldn't be. It should be overturned right. and hope to God that it doesn't happen in other right. states, obviously. But the thing that it did get me, and I thought about this before and maybe I shouldn't admit this, but like I was raised Catholic. I'm not like, I think religion and spirituality is a really important thing. I later in my life am not as spiritual as I once was. But I do have these thoughts about embryos. And again, I'm prefacing this by saying I'm as liberal as they get. And I think the ruling was terrible, but like, I do have these, and I think people can relate to this. I do have these like weird conversations in my head about like, okay, we have Georgie. She was one of these embryos. Let's say we have, I mean, what do we have left? We have seven. And at some point we had what, 10 maybe? And then we started losing them.
Yes.
So we have these 10, 11, whatever that number is, embryos. And like, it is potential life.
Right.
Like Georgie was one of those sitting there. And the thing that's just crazy and sad and weird and like is a more, kind of a moral issue, but not because they're not people. They're a few cells, but we pluck Georgie into consciousness
right.
by pointing at an embryo. And sadly, like we're not going to have seven kids.
Right.
Some of those embryos that could be Georgie. I know what Georgie is now.
Yeah.
And just to think we like would point at another one and like not have Georgie is such a weird thing to think about.
You could then keep going on that. Like if someone had, if we had sex this month. That
but
could
it's not
be.
That. But I know I exactly, and I think that's kind of the point. It's like once you start messing with nature, once you start using contraception, once you start having like morning after pills, once you all this stuff is like affecting the trajectory of like what's, you know, gonna happen.
Choose your own adventure of
I do think, and I'm not, again, I keep saying this, like I feel like I'm making like some counter argument. I'm not. It just brought these, because I've thought about this during
that's what I was saying.
Fertility.
That's why I felt for the couple that, you know, woke up to a call and how that changes your life. Because you do, like I said, I when they put that embryo in and we saw the spark of what they call spark of life, like I embodied being a mother and, you know, carrying, you know, a potential baby. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think the thing, I guess, that made me think the most, honestly, is just this idea of like, if we're going to have frozen embryos to discard. Mm-hmm. And I think, not that I think that's a moral dilemma necessarily, but I do think that there's, in every human being, there's this sort of, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's like a need to protect, like, even potential life.
Right.
Like, the fact that these things could be a child of ours and aren't yet, they are not people yet, but the fact that they could be, and we will unfreeze some likely, is like a weird, I hate to, it's, use the word mind fuck, but it feels like.
I mean,
it feels like a moral dilemma. And I know it's not, because of how I feel politically about all these things, it shouldn't be. And because I'm not, as I mentioned, like hugely religious at this point in my life, like it isn't, shouldn't be a moral dilemma, but it is weirdly
but
for
it,
me.
Because I mean,
intrinsically, you want to like not discard something that's like a little further along than like having sex or
you just don't like think about these things. I brought it up at dinner the other day because that's my initial gut reaction of, yeah, well, first off, let me preface this that when you start to think about all these things, right? Like if this ruling were to go further and it's, you know, you have to pay for, you can't discard these embryos. You have to pay for the storage for the rest of your life, or, you know, a step further, like you have to use these embryos
or
give them away or whatever it is. I think
which is another moral dilemma. It's like, yeah, I'm going to have 8 kids roaming around.
Well,
I don't know.
And that's people have very strong feelings about it. I have a friend right now who's freaking out a little bit about everything. Is like, I need to move these to a long-term storage place. Like, I don't want them in my clinic. What if someone were to tell me I need to give them away? Those, like, I'm not comfortable, like, knowing I have children out there being raised by someone else. I mean, there are so many different topics and conversations that you could get on about this. And I think what's interesting is the thought of storage, right? And we brought this up the other night when we were talking about all this. And in my mind, I feel like we worked so hard for them. And to your point, there's something clearly sentimental about each one. They're so precious to me. They're worth more than anything in the world to me, just sitting there. So,
and who they are is written, sadly.
Right. Yeah. So I can't fathom getting rid of them, you know. Obviously, there's things that you can donate them to science. And there's part of me that if we ever had to make a decision, you know, I haven't thought this through, but there's part of me is like, it would be doing good, you know, hopefully it would be doing good for steps in the right direction to help other couples and people in IVF, you know, finding new things out on embryos. I mean, I said that, I was like, how cool if one of those embryos were to be able to make such a huge impact. But anyway, you could go further and further on this, but the whole thing's upsetting. And there was one TikTok by this politician in Alabama, which my friend and I were talking about, and it was just like, you wondered, have they thought anything through when they do these rulings? Or is it like, I have a feeling, and I'm not going to even think logically, but the reporter was asking him about this, and he's like, we need more children. We need more children. And she's like, right. So you are now shutting down IVF.
So just so you know, that was Tommy Tuberville, who was like a former well-known football coach, but his views on everything, at least in terms of the way you and I think are pretty backwards. But yeah, I saw that clip and he just like
didn't know what to say.
Struggled because he's like, oh my gosh, I'm about to contradict myself so badly.
That
so
yeah, I don't know we do say. Need more children. Like IVF helps that.
Also just a weird statement. Like we need more children. I don't know if he was getting at like population, like to remain like a world power, we just need people. Was that what he
he was going. I mean, it's hard though. You wonder if our little podcast family has differing feelings about this because, you know, I got a few messages from people that follow me and it's hard when you get that because you don't want to disappoint anyone. And to be honest, we have these thoughts and feelings and opinions, but both of us are very non-confrontational. I want my Instagram page, our podcast to just be a safe place, whatever you feel, whatever views you have, whatever religion, like just all is welcome. Who cares? We all have our way of living. So it's always sad when you get a message and the person was like, you know, I'm so disappointed in you. Like I followed you and your journey. And as a Christian, like this really saddens me. And it's hard, you know, like I feel like I have to defend myself of like, well, this is, you know, I know a lot about, you know, statistically, 6 of our embryos never worked. They were never people. And, you know, but anyways, I get going on.
Well, it's also those kind of people you want to start asking questions like, oh, do you use, so what do you have 12 kids? You've had sex 12 times. Like,
right.
Do you use contraception? Like, are you interfering with nature at all?
Right.
You know, because if you are, then you're a hypocrite.
Right. It's just hard. But I mean, people have so many feelings about it and.
Well, the weird thing, again, this is getting into like more philosophical questions, but.
This is why I did marry you, though. We love having conversations like this.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't be having them in this public forum.
Yeah, right.
I'll like not articulate something well and it'll come across wrong. But just even like talking about like the abortion debate, which obviously both of us agree on that. And of course, it's a woman's choice. But like this is an interesting because of science. It's out of the woman's body. It's not her choice. So it's like, because in a way, this is the same argument, right? It's like, how many weeks can you have an abortion where it's still okay? Or if at all, some people think you should never be able to, or, you know, those questions, and it's in a woman's body. So the answer that a lot of people have, or the view that a lot of people have, are of course, a woman can do whatever they want with their body. In this case, it's even way earlier. You're talking about like when they freeze them, cells are two to 5 days old, or so they're always.
Well, I mean, sometimes they can freeze them at day 3, but most clinics nowadays, especially if you're doing PGT testing, it's 5 days. So it's a 5-day embryo.
Right.
And, you know, with like at that point, there's hundreds of cells, but
hundreds.
But 2 days or like 2 days earlier, they're like, there's 6 cells. There's, you know, you can see, like an embryologist could watch it going from 4 cells to 6 cells to 8 cells to, you know, and it's the cells.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, you're talking about practically like, at the time of fertilization.
Right. And with abortion, you're talking about 16 weeks. A lot of times that's like people's.
Well, you know, now it's Trump's the heartbeat.
Like cut off. Yeah. But
yeah. Some of the states are the heartbeat.
Well, no, but yeah, I'm just saying like viewpoints, a lot of people, like even conservatives are like, okay, like 16 weeks like should be the cutoff, which again, I don't agree with, but like 16 weeks versus like 4 days we're talking about like 100 cells.
Right.
But again, it's like the not advocating at all for the other side, but it is like a weird mind thing of like, I don't know. It's like all life is just chance.
It really, I mean, and that's essentially what IVF is. It is a chance. It's not guaranteed. It is just a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we did a lot on that.
I don't know. Maybe next week I'll like write down my thoughts. I'm not just like blabbering on.
No, I thought it was interesting. I like when you chime in with these thoughts.
You're the pro at all this though. No. You've got it.
No. Well, I feel like that's it. That's a wrap. We're wrapping. You have anything else to say? Anything else to add?
No, I mean, comment on my t-shirt.
Don't forget to comment because Todd loves a good comment.
Well, I do have another thing to say, and I don't really care, but we've been talking about the lighting.
No. Oh,
when we sat down, guys, it was completely overcast, and then the lighting in here looked great, and it was going to look even and nice. And
it's not. It's not
there's
even
like the sun came out. So there's like massive streaks behind you of the sun coming in through the window. So like,
but I think this light, these lights right here are game changers.
They are, but
people commented they enjoyed it.
No one commented.
They did. Did you not see it? Don't disappoint them. They're probably just commenting for you. So don't, you better get on that computer. And
well,
look.
Like, again, this is just like in the weeds of cameras, but like your face will look like a little dark, but then behind you is going to be like blown out because of the sun. Because I should have.
It's an artistic.
It's a choice.
It's a choice that you took.
Yeah. So Tara's shot, I meant to put these like light rays behind her. She's my ray of light.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. All right. Well, I love you.
Love you too. See you next time.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Unexpecting the Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, and follow Unexpecting Pod on Instagram for info about upcoming weekly episode releases.